session number 16713, Mr. M. Waterston, reel 14.
Reel 14. How far was the first working camp from the original main camp that you'd gone to?
Oh, miles.
How did you get there?
I mean, when you went out into working party, you went by truck when you first went out. But if you had to travel, you were taken by a guard on the train, on a civilian train. I've travelled on a civilian train. That's a lot. Till later. When I was at Berlin. But when we went to the working party, the first working party, we went in cattle trucks till you got there. And then you went into a, maybe it's an old house or something, an old mansion, you know, something like that. And they built you up. They would provide, if you're on a working party, I mean, you used to get extra grub, you know, when you were on the working party. And they would have a kitchen attached. It was either run by the men or run by the Germans, but mostly it was run by the men. But to cook your potatoes and dish out your bread and all that till you start to get Red Cross parcels, and then you start to live. But it wasn't until 1942 before we really got a Red Cross parcel, and then by the time in 1943 we didn't get any at all. I mean, about a year and a half we had parcels, that's all. A lot of people think we had Red Cross parcels all the while, but we didn't.
So in this first working camp you were fed a little bit better.
Oh, we got the extra amount of bread, you know, instead of getting 5 to a loaf, we got 3 to a loaf, something like that.
What was the bread like?
Oh, it was like, you know, a loaf of brown bread, well, it used to be called black bread, and after a couple of days when it got stale, it was hard as rocks. What was best then, we used to get a little knob of butter, a margarine, I should say. It was actually made out of coal, was one of the extracts from coal. It was nice and all, it wasn't bad. And you'd always get your big bowl of soup or something, you know, when you come in from work, you'd always had a hot meal, you know, like a big bowl of soup when you come in from work. You used to come in from work and you used to have to be washed up and tidied up and all that before you went out to get your. The parade was going up to you, so you have to parade for everything.
So you were saying that you got this bread, which went hard very quickly. What else would you get?
Well, about once a fortnight, you'd get a spoonful of jam. Every 2 days, you got this knob of butter. That was standard. Sometimes you'd get a raw fish, a raw herring, you know, raw herring. Like pickled herring, you know, it was.
And did you eat it raw or did you cook it?
Well, first you had to eat it, whether you liked it or not. The lads used to sling them away, they were that bad. Some of them, they'd rather gone without us, eat us. Some of you blokes would devour them. But oh, they were awful things. Till we started to get, you know, organised with fires and all that, and then we used to cook them and all that, and made them tasty. I mean, some good cooks in the camp, you know, and that's all they used to talk about at first, you know. That was the main subject, talking about, you know, these big lads going to the big restaurants in Orange and Rumbling and telling you all the thing. No, you see, I was dreaming about a good pot pie, something like that.
That was
the main conversation, you know, that, you know, food, 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 and more food. Well, I had to listen to some good lectures there when lads used to just get on, tell you about that job, like, really, you know, and tell them about the job. One lad, he was a blinking newspaper man. He used to do work in the newspaper office, you know, writing the newspaper office. And I mean, when you hear that, hey lads, I got to tell you about your jobs, that's how you get, I had a kind of education, you know, through them. One lad was a blinking golf reporter, sports reporter for the journal. His father was a vicar. Piggy, we used to call him. Piggin, and his proper name was Piggin. And he used to have a big pipe, a bowl pipe like that. And he used to get tins and tins of three nuns tobacco, the curly tobacco, you know. And where we used to, when we used to get bottle air, we used to rub it up, you know, and loosen and tease it out and all that. He didn't, he used to just ram it in. He says, what's the point of doing that? He says, I ram it into me pipe, so I'm trying, if I lose it, tease it out, he says, I'm wasting time. And he used to have that pipe stuck in his mouth. He did that. As soon as he came in from work and all that, that pipe went into his mouth. And he said, he's a big fella, and he used to sit on the top bunk with his legs dangling over. And he was so well read. He read Gone with the Wind twice. And we used to have competitions with him. Because nearly all we'd all read Gone with the Wind then, you know, because it just came to the camp and we just have to gone through. Lads used to read it. Some of the lads could read it and repeat. But he could tell you, used to say, what did Red Butler say to Maureen O'Hara on page 45? And he would tell you the line, he'd tell you the quotation, what's it, and you're out. My brain, you know. So all the softy sub-brains.
Where did the books come from? Who was sending your books?
The Red Cross. The Salvation Army was the first ones. We all got packets of cigarettes, you know, and a Bible, you know, from the Salvation Army. Famous gift, that. The Salvation Army. But the Red Cross was the masters. And they got the books and all that, and clothes and all that, went to the main camp, and then
were they spread out from there, or did they just stay there?
The first, this job, after I, you know, lost the use of my legs, when I got better again, I went out on another camp. Remember when the Germans were going into Czechoslovakia? Where I was, went up on the Czechoslovakia border for a place called Kalkow. And it was just on all the convoys was going past there. And we were sent on a job to widen the road so that big vehicles could pass through, or a shortcut, you know, from the way they were gone. And it was the winter of 1941. It was really cold. And it came to a point that Dan attacked us out to work, like, because the two lads got killed on the sun, you know, it was freezing, and when you were knocking it down, it come avalanching down, and two lads was caught, suffocated under a fall when we widened the road out. And we had a military funeral, like, for them. And that, but when we were needed, I worked. We were on that job for about 12 months. And got us built up, you know, got us Conneybill Dublin, and then drop the bombshell. Right, you've got to leave. Before we finish that road, too late, going back to another job. And I'm sure I know what's coming here. And out there was 45 lads, and out of 45 lads, I was the only miner. And all these lads were all, you know, when they're getting ourselves organised and that, they were really nice blokes, man, smashing blokes. Every one of the 45 year boys were nice blokes. We got on well in that party. We used to always call ourselves the Calco Party. And I was mates there with Reg Larwood, the cricketer's cousin. Reg.
What time would you start your work?
Oh, you have to start before 8 o'clock in the morning and down till 5 o'clock at night.
And before that you'd obviously woken, then you'd have your breakfast?
About what we call our breakfast and that, whatever you had.
Your roll call.
If you had. We had our roll call first. Well, our roll call was when we fell in for the gun to work. And I mean, we had this.
But you got a breakfast?
We didn't get a breakfast. Like, I mean, we used to get on the working party, you would go. There's an old woman downstairs that was in charge of the bread and all that. And she used to scrounge us a slice of bread for our breakfast as hard in the morning. And we used to go down and get a cup of coffee down downstairs.
And you'd start work, as you say, about 8 o'clock?
Start about 8 o'clock. Then at dinner time, they would come down with a big can of coffee and that, and bread for you to, you know, for halfway through the shift. Then you get your bowl of soup and that when you come back.
And what time would that be?
About 5-6 o'clock sometimes, if the weather was good. And, you know, sometimes we'd be in that about 8 o'clock, it started to get dark, you know, because they wanted the road through. Two lads escaped from there. They didn't get very far, escaped from there, but we didn't have to put up a rough couple of days after that and all. After they escaped, we suffered for it.
How did you suffer?
Well, I stopped rations, stopped you doing this and stopped you from doing that. We used to go from the room that we were in like a pub, you know, like a pub stars room in a music room, you know, in the pub. And you used to go across the road to the bakery, and you were allowed to go across to the bakery and buy bread, because we used to get pay, like, you know. Now and again, we used to get a paper money. And
a civilian bakery would actually exchange
would accept
that money?
It. You know why? It's accepted because he would get it exchanged, you see. You'd get it, send it back to the main camp and get it exchanged.
So when these two escaped, they could down a lot of privileges?
They could have a lot out.
Were there any beatings on working party? What were the guards like, as a rule?
Why, I mean, it was good and bad, you know. I mean, sometimes they used to get a rough one. But they were always more active when you were getting you up in the morning, you know, to get you out and all that. Pulling you out of bed and hugging you out and kicking you downstairs and this, that, and the other. A lot of lads just used to do it, like, you know, just to aggravate them.
Lying. Were there, you know, you've mentioned the aggravation. Were there deliberate attempts to aggravate guards? And
I see the news. There was one guard on one working party who was only used to be always using the rifle butt on the morning to shift you into line and all that. And there was one little thick, built like a blinking rocket, like, you know, New Zealander. This big tall Jerry, you boys, he just grabbed his uniform, pulled him down, he belted him one. You boys, I didn't know what about him.
He was
sent back to the. He was. Did about 30 days in solitary confinement and all that in his little cells that they had.
Were these kept in the main camps?
The cells.
Any other ways that you could aggravate guards?
Well, yeah. I mean, you should push your boat in the lads. Instead of standing in rows of five, you know, you used to be walking about, you used to move. You used to, the lad in front of you, move him up there, and now stand in front of him, and you used to come down and count them. And you used to scratch the head. Just sometimes it was a half an hour to get out on the morn when they used to have to count us to gun out. The lads would be walking from the front to the back, you know, and they used to say, well, you've got one, how many in your lad? And they used to say, am I extra? Well, I'll gone back into, used to gone back into Hooton, and they used to have to hark about the next time they wouldn't be there, you know. They used to do all sorts. Used to get a good thudding with a rifle boot or something like that, and I would gone to walk, and you used to say to the bloke in charge, been hit with a rifle and all that, this one been bunched up, cut a day, and he walk around like that, used to scrounge around.
Well, the working, the actual work itself, was this controlled and run by civilians?
At the pits it was, at the pits. But when if you're on your outside job, the guards used to. The first working party where the 45 of us was in was, I mean, we got on well with the guards and all that, like, because the human just the same as us. One bloke we used to call to gentleman, Jim, I could stand and talk to Raldi, you know, and make myself understand and all that. In fact, he taught me most of the blinking German that I knew. He was a smashing bloke, and he used to think the world of me. If they had gone anywhere with a canny job out like that, he always picked me out, you know, out. Because I was only the littlest.
Did they talk to you about Hitler and Germany and the war at all?
They would tell you what they knew. Mm-hmm. But it was always. Then they were winning the war and all that there and then. I'll never forget the night the coal lads come sneaking through. We're in. There's another working camp. I was on a good few working camps after I went up to Berlin, like, and I come back. You see, I got pushed about all over the place.
We'll try and get those in order if you can. So, your first major working party was on this road, which you were on about a year, you're saying.
That was the first one that I spent the most time at, up to Glen. That was the third working party I'd been on, but.
The other two had been
the pit, and I was our young to go down the pit, and they moved us to the one where I got lost the use of my legs in the swamps. And then I went out to this one and got pretty well built up. And we got an issue of clothing there. It was all French clothing and all that, like, for the winter putting in. And mine, it was a severe winter, a really severe winter. As I say, we lost two lads there. But
you managed to keep warm.
Well, we had a big stove in the middle of the room, you know. And I got burnt on it one time. I bent down and your boys, I cut me bare bottom on it. Oh, damn it. Just sizzled like bacon. Your boys.
What were the arrangements if anyone fell ill or was hurt?
We had two medical orderlies and a sergeant to about 45 lads. And they used to look after us. They used to give us the pills and all that. And if they, what anything they couldn't manage with, they would report it to the doctor. There was a doctor who used to come about once at 6 months or something like that, you know. And
Mr. German doctor?
Aye. But if it was necessary, the German doctor would come. At their word, you know, if they said it was important that the doctors come, or you were whisked off to the hospital and all that.
Medication, was there any available for you?
Well, at first it was very light and all that. I mean, you couldn't get dressings or out like that, you know, to dress wounds. We used to have to tear shirts up and all sorts, you know, today. But to put. Very primitive. It was very primitive for the first couple of years. very primitive. And as I say, I was on that working party a year.
You mentioned that you had other nationals with you, Ukrainians. Were they on that working party on the road?
No, they were at the main pit. The one I went to after this one, where we went, we were there. Not more, very much happened there at that working party. I mean, we were just locked up in a room and all that. Never got out of it till we went to work and come back to work. And
did the boredom ever lead to squabbles at all?
Oh, well, yeah. The lads just getting miserable and all that. But we always found a way around it and all. Something like that. I mean, little competitions or something like that. Or lads just have bits of concerts and won't drive here and all that. I used to sing now and again, like with the lads. And yeah, just entertain ourselves. It was when we couldn't entertain ourselves that most things used to get miserable. We used to look forward to your letters coming, you know, when you used to get a letter out like that home.
How often did they
come? Didn't used to get them very often, like, but when they used to come and get big bundles. You might have about three or four, and sometimes you'd have none or something like that.
And were you able to write out to home?
Oh, yeah, we had a letter that we could write. A letter. We used to get three cards and a long letter a month. And we used to write, and they were censored then on, and then sent home through the Red Cross. No parcels used to come by the Red Cross. And by this time, we were starting to get parcels. About back end of 1941, it must have been. We were starting to get parcels.
These from home?
Aye. And like a shirt and shirt pants and vest and shirt and socks and all that. And we not only that, we were getting little bits of goodies from the Salvation Army and, you know, different benevolent funds and that they would send them in. Some lads were lucky there and others, like, I mean, you boys, some places, everything that was gone for the prisoners of war, they used to be, some lads used to get a parcel of cigarettes a week. And all that. And by this time, I'd start to smoke because there's nothing else to do and getting the cigarettes for now. I mean, and we used to get them off the British Legion, we used to get them off the Salvation Army, and then we used to get them off the women used to have a club for prisoners of war, mothers, you know, down in Durham there. We used to get cigarettes and things like that from them. Little bits of combs and brushing combs and all that. But we want occasionally we could spend our money on things like that. Razor blades. We're allowed to buy razor blades and pen or pencil or something like that, you know, for to write your down in. Things that you most needed, you could buy them now and again. As I say, this baker's shop, we used to be able to go out there and we could buy out all that. He used to get out in for us. You know, if we tell them, you know, what we wanted and all that, he would try and get it, you know. And sometimes he was successful, sometimes he wasn't.
They had no trouble getting your parcels from the Germans. They handed them over all right.
I'll tell you about the first one that we got. It was at this party where the 45, where we were 45 of us. We got an issue of parcels, came in a truck. We carried them all upstairs and put them in the guard room, the little room that the guards had, put them in the guard room. Now, when we went to this party, we were issued with a bowl, a spoon, and a cup, a pot, a tin pot. Now, we had quite sort of bloke it was, the Gefreiter, like a lance corporal in charge. And he opened every tin. He had the guards on, he opened every tin, every bar of soap and everything, and it was all put into the one dish. That's how you got your first parcel. And the lad that was in charge of us is a sergeant. And, well, there's two sergeants. One's still alive. He's in he goes to the... I just found out the other day that it was old Bob that told us. It mentioned him in... I didn't know he used to get the paper off the right of the... from the 6th and 9th Battalion, you know. What do they call him now? It's Martin McLean's mob. No, Martin McLean's one. And they mentioned some of the blokes that had said in their apologies for not being there. And we recognised this lad that was a sergeant, you know. Tom Bull, they called him. And we got tea, butter, everything all in there, was stew, soup and everything. It was all wasted, you know. We could just we spent days trying to clean it up and all that. And he says, well, that's what I've got to do with it. He says, you're not supposed to do with anything to it. You're not supposed to touch it. So we complained, and there was a big officer come out, and he called the lunch corporal stupid as out. He says, well, they cannot eat things like that. I mean, the sergeant was... He said, tell them, he says, you would puncture the tins. You puncture the tins so they won't be able to hold on to them, you know, so they won't be able to hoard them. That was the idea, you know. Not, he says, you're not finding, he says, they're coming from the Red Cross, you know, this group, not from the people at home. Stab the tin and that. And he says, soap and everything like that, that you needn't touch anything like that. So that was the way we got our parcels after that. But we only got one parcel between two. Eh? We never get a whole parcel till about 1942 when there were, you know, plenty.
What did they contain? I know you've mentioned soup and so. What else might they have in?
It would be a tin of stew, tin of arm roll or something, you know, a meat loaf, bar of soap, bucket of tea, bar of chocolate, salt, mustard, things like that, you know. Enough to make a meal out of, you know. Yeah. Stuff to wash it clothes with, you know, things like that.
And you had, as you say, one between two to start with?
Yeah, yeah. That's why you had to, as I say, muggy in together, you know, right? So you had to share them. I mean, five of you sharing together. The only parcel that used to get opened was to share between somebody else, a odd man out, you see. And that one was used properly. And after that, we used to itemise everything out so it would mark a little bit meal on top of what we used to get off the Germans, you know, say. And then we used to get maybe 10 cigarettes and a little tin of tobacco, pipe tobacco.
And you'd use some of this for bartering, did you? Particularly stuff that you didn't want yourself.
Say many cigarettes for a bar of chocolate or something like that. That was really among ourselves till we got in contact with the Poles.
And that would come later in
that
the story.
That came later, aye.
The Red Cross, did they come to inspect your camps? Did that ever happen?
On occasions, yeah. They used to come in to say everything, but when they came, everything was gone properly. I mean, you weren't allowed to speak to them or out like that. I mean, but
so
he would ask the senior men, you know, the senior man, you know, used to only have to say what the Germans had told them. Eh? I mean, you're down to complain or out like that, because when they went away, you'd get hoid in the blinking pokey, the blinking sergeant major, so he wouldn't be able to tell us. No. I mean, in the case, you know, they would come to light, they would say so much, you know, and they would point it out.
Not. If that happened, did the Germans take notice of what they said? Did they try to put anything right?
The DDOR, if it was out really, if there was out really, the air was so out really. But if they did out fire, you know, I reckon, I mean, if they saw something that wasn't properly, the Germans were dead for it, but they took something else off you. So you wouldn't get both, you know, you didn't get two ones. Lovely. We started off lovely weather there, and then we went into the cold winter in 1941. Well, the snow got that thick we couldn't work, and we're indoors, locked up indoors for nearly a fortnight. We never got out and out. It was a horrible fortnight, that.